Good morning and welcome to church. Welcome to the morning service. We want to start with prayer. Thank you, God, for this new day. Thank you that you are here. Thank you that we can start the day in your house, in your presence, with your word, in your love. And I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray that you open our hearts, that we can hear what you want to say to us today, that it changes us, that we can experience how great your love is for us. Amen. I want to start with 1 Peter 4, verse 8. says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." And I want to talk about this last words, love covers all sins, or love covers a multitude of sins. The same you can read also in Proverbs 10, verse 12, and in Proverbs 17, verse 9, and also in 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love. It says in verse 7, "Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance." And the words "love never gives up," in another translation, it says it covers everything. So God's love, when we talk about God's love, it's so important to know that his love covers every sin of me, every sin of you, every sin that's been done before, every sin that will be done. God's love is so big, so great that it's covering all of our sins. Why? Because the blood of Jesus was shed. He died on the cross, and with his blood, he covers all our sins. Otherwise, if we hadn't Jesus, if we hadn't the blood of Jesus, we would get punishment for our sins, which would be just in the eyes of God. But his love was so big, so great, that he forgave us. And the Bible says that God takes our sin and he throws it in the deepest ocean. So it says God forgives and he forgets. So if you confess your sin, the love of God is so great that he forgives you and he forgets. He's not the one who goes fishing sometimes, but he forgets like it never happened, because he sees us through Jesus. He sees us like through the eyes of Jesus. What about us? Often we keep in mind the sins of people around us or our own sins, and we are resentful, or we tell others. In Proverbs 17, verse 9, it says, "Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends." In another translation, it says, if you talk about it, if you tell others about the sin of someone, it separates close friends. So it's very important that we as people, we don't talk about the sins of others. But in our human being, sometimes we are curious, and we are used to gossip, maybe in our workplace, or maybe because of the life we had before Jesus. But Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4 say, "Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God." So if we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no place, as it says, such sins have no place among God's people. There's no place to talk about the special sins or about the sins of people. But more important is that we can have trust between each other. We should have secrecy. Also in our family groups, it's very important if someone opens up and maybe he confesses a sin, it's very important that we don't go to other people and talk, do you know what he did? But we have to keep it a secret. We have to be like God, love like God. We also can forgive, and we should not talk about it. But then we think, okay, but we should confess our sins. What do we do? Yes, we are called to confess our sins, because in 1 John 1, verse 9, God says, if we confess our sins, then God is just, and he cleanses us from all our sins. But then God forgives. Like I said before, he's not going fishing in the deepest ocean where he threw our sin. Who is doing that? That is Satan. He is the accuser, and he always takes the sin of yesterday, of maybe years ago, and he reminds you. And he wants to remind God, because he's the accuser. And we can decide on which side we stand. Do we stand on the side of God, where we forgive, where we don't talk about it anymore? Or do we stand sometimes on the side of the accuser and bring it up again and talk foolish things, talk about sins that should have no place among us? I want to look on three examples in the Bible how Jesus did it. First, in Luke 19, the story about Jesus and Zacchaeus, verses 5 to 8 say, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And I think it's very interesting to see the people around. They said, how can he go to someone who is a sinner? And they point with a finger and talk about the sin that Zacchaeus did. What does Jesus do? He is just his guest. He loves him. And we cannot read that Jesus goes to him and says, you have to change this, you have to change that. But we read in verse 8, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood up and said. So Jesus loved. It was the love of Jesus that changed the heart of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus came to repentance. Something happened in his heart. And so he changed his way, and he promised to do different now. And it's so important that if we meet people, they have to experience the love of God. They have to experience the love also through us. It's not our job to tell them all the sins and what they have to change. It's our job to love them, and through the Holy Spirit there will be conviction. If his heart is open, he will change. Another example we can find in John 8, verses 2 to 6, it's the woman caught in adultery. It says, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. And then verses 10 and 11. Then, because we then read that Jesus said, everyone who has no sin can throw the first stone. And so one by one they left because they all were sinners. Verse 10, then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Where the people pointed with their fingers to this woman and called the sin by name and accused her, what did Jesus do? He looked down on the ground. He didn't look to her face. He was not accusing her. And then at the end he says, I'm not accusing you. What he's saying is, I just love you. And go and sin no more. And I think this love touched the heart of this woman and changed the heart of this woman. Not pointing to the sin and making this sin big. The sin was there. It has to be forgiven. It has to be confessed. But the love of Jesus was so much greater. He just laughed her and said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And another example is in Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. It's about Jesus being anointed by a sinful woman. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Here again, we read about how people react. They condemn her. She's a sinner. Everyone knows it. Verse 40, then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Yet again, we see how Jesus reacted. And it says, her sins, and they are many. So everyone knew it, and Jesus knew it too, because Jesus knows all of us, and he knows every sin maybe people don't know, but Jesus does. And he says, they have been forgiven, and she has shown me much love. It's again the love of Jesus that forgives, and he's not pointing the finger to the sin. Instead, he is honoring her. He's comparing her with what Simon didn't do and what she did. And I think it's so important and interesting to see. And this is what I think we need to learn. We want to grow in love. It's the year of love. We want to become more like Jesus. And maybe it's just this point. We should love our brothers and sisters, and we should not point to the sin. We should not tell the sin of others, but we also should cover sin. It's not only God's love that covers sin. Our love can cover sins too. In James 5, verse 20, it says, "You can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins." So, yeah, maybe verse 19. "My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins." So it says, if you bring a person back to the path of life because he was maybe going away and sinning, and you bring him back, you will cover a lot of sins. So this is our calling. We should cover the sins of others. We should not tell them, other people, and make them bigger or greater than they were. We should cover the sins, and we should become more like Jesus, loving people, and let God do his job, because it's God's job to convict, to sometimes he needs to tell us what to stop or what to start. But the first of all, we need to love people. And I want to pray that we can grow in that love, and that we can be a blessing to others. Amen. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you that your love is so great, so big, that it washes away all sin, that it covers all sin. You know our sins. You know every thought of us. And I thank you, God, that you cover it. Thank you, Jesus, that you shed your blood, that your blood covers our sins. And I pray that you change our hearts, that we learn to love like you, that we want to grow in your love, that we can see people with the eyes of love, that we don't point the finger to the sin, but we love them, and your Holy Spirit does the work of conviction. And I thank you that we can read in your word that your love changes the hearts, and that people change because you love them, not because we tell the sins and we tell them what to change, but your love changes everything. And I thank you for this day. I thank you that you guide us through this day, and that you teach us how to love, how to look through the eyes of Jesus. Amen.